You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage, transform it into a relationship that you would love to have, no matter where you are in the process. Even if you're at the beginning of a marriage and you're trying to figure out how to avoid some of those problems, or if you're at the end trying to figure out how to get back on track. Today, particularly, this is a podcast that applies to everyone. This isn't about how you do some technique to save your marriage, how you have some technique that's going to turn your relationship around. This is about some fundamentals of the relationship. I want to talk about some words. And those words are compared to some other words. I want to talk about three relationship killers today. And then I want to talk about three relationship nurturers today. Just three words to remember on each side. And as you notice those words, you can use them as a framework for understanding and looking at how you're doing along the way. So let's talk about those relationship killers. The number one relationship killer I want to talk about today is control. Control is one of those pieces where, you know, it really is about wanting to be right. Now, let me distinguish control from something else, which is role. There is a difference between being controlling and having a role. Control and role are not the same thing. So, for instance, you may be the person who's in charge of the money at your house, or you may be the person who's in charge of kind of making sure that all the paperwork for the kids is signed or something like that. Maybe you're even somebody in the family that takes care of planning a trip or a vacation just because that's your natural role and naturally what you like to do. That's not what we're talking about here. When I'm talking about control, I'm talking about that place where your way has to be there. It's your way or the highway. It's your way or there's going to be hell to pay, right? And that's where control comes in a destructive way, because it takes away the ability for somebody else to be a part of the relationship. When somebody is really at a controlling place in life, the other person has no room. There's no room for the other person to have an opinion. There's no room for the other person to take action unless it's been assigned. And there's no room for the other person to have any sense of self. And that's what happens in a controlled relationship. And I'm not talking about somebody who is out there trying to, you know, control your actions and reactions in the rest of the world. You know, there are people who are out there, and we call them psychopaths, who tend to be the ultimate in controlling. So, you know, they make sure that you only do this and you only do that no matter where you are. And we see these pictures in the news, somebody who's kidnapped somebody and they won't let them contact their family, or they become abusive. So that's one layer, and that certainly is an issue. But for me, that's a non-starter. I'm taking those away, because if that's a relationship you're in, that's not one you want to work on. I'm talking about the control in life where somebody says, yes, I do it my way because my way is the right way. I have the best way, or I don't want it going another way. I want my outcome. So let me tell you a little bit of a way that you might look at and say, am I the controller, or perhaps I'm at the place of having given up control? Those are two different roles. And one way is to think, you know, are you okay with different approaches to things? For instance, do you have the only way that housework could be done, or the only way that bills can be paid, or the only way that the kids can be parented, or the only way that bedtime can happen, or the only way that sex can happen, or the only way that money can be addressed? If there's the only way, there's a problem. Because there are multiple ways for any of those things. And what you notice is that sometimes you're at the other end where you have no control over those pieces. You realize that you have handed that over, and you may be carrying out your spouse's desires, but you're not contributing to that process. So what we're talking about here is that place of control in life where you basically say, you know, I'm going to have it my way. This takes a bit of self-awareness to look and say, yes, I tend to be a controlling person. What I hear from people who are in that controlling place is they often say, well, you know, I'm a perfectionist, so I'm the one who has to have that done, or my spouse really doesn't step up, so I'm the one who makes these choices. And in reality, let me tell you what's really behind control, and really about behind the place of not having any sense of control, of having abdicated that control, and that's fear. Fear is what causes us to try to control things because we don't want to be caught off guard. And so we step into a controlling place if that is your tendency, or you let go of control so that somebody else has to take responsibility. In a marriage, it's about two people coming together and joining together and sharing the process, not about one having all the say-so and all of the opinion and all of the right answers. If you can sense the place where you say, wow, I've been a controlling person, or wow, I've allowed all the control to go to the other person, it's time to recognize that you've eliminated one person in that process. Okay, so relationship killer number two is contempt. What I notice is that contempt is that place where you begin to be hostile towards the other person. And maybe it starts with control, but maybe it starts somewhere else. That over time, you have a negative opinion about everything that the spouse does. And over time, you have those places where out of you drips criticism and critique. And the only way that you have any connection together is when you're being critical. And so all those places are about contempt. All of those angles are about contempt. Contempt is destructive to the relationship because you're basically saying, I don't like you. I don't like how you are in the world. I don't like these elements of you. And contempt ends up being something that grows and grows. It's not just, I don't like how you behave in this situation. It's a global piece. Contempt is one of those very dangerous elements of a relationship. If you're aware of feeling contempt for your spouse or feeling that your spouse has contempt for you, recognize that that is a killer of the relationship. Now, right behind contempt is condescension. Condescension is that place of going, you know, I will listen to you and I will act as if I'm listening to you, but I'm going to do my own thing. And that's because my way is superior. Now, let's be clear. There is a little piece of all of us that believe we're right. And the reason I say that is because if you believed you were not right, you would change who you were and what you were thinking. That's just the nature of life. And so whatever you're thinking, you believe is right. So here's the problem. All of us have blind spots. All of us have places where we don't have a full view. And sometimes when we have decided we have the right view, we're condescending towards the other opinions. And so sometimes you can feel condescended upon, and sometimes you can feel like you're condescending. But when you're looking down on somebody or you feel like you're being looked down upon, recognize that part of what that's robbing from the relationship is a place of equality, a place of standing together, a place of saying, we're in this together, we're a team. It's not a team stacked, right? It's not that there is a CEO and then the worker bees. It's that you have two people who are joining together to find the way through life. And there is no place in that process. There's no place in that team for contempt, for control, or condescension. So then what do you bring in as relationship nurturers? Well, I want to talk about three of those. One is connection. Connection is that place where you feel like the other person is with you, and the other person feels like you're with them, that there is this place where you're walking together. And I would say that there are three areas. I talk about this at length in my book, How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps. Those three areas of connection are emotional, physical, and spiritual. Physical connection, easy to understand. It's when we touch each other, you know, whether it's a hug or a kiss or holding hands or arm around the back or just rubbing or soothing when something is hurting or even having sex. All of that is about the physical connection. Emotional connection is that place of feeling supported and feeling of supporting the other person in the emotional struggles of life. When somebody's had a hard day at work, talking about that hard day. When somebody is having a tough day with the kids, talking about that tough day with the kids. When you're dealing with the emotional stuff of life and feeling like you're in each other's corners. Spiritual connection is when you're sharing your hopes, your aspirations, when you're talking about where you want to get to, the big things, the things that you fear, the things you believe, those very tender moments of sharing those intimate thoughts that you have that maybe nobody else knows, that maybe you talk about those politics out there or your religious or spiritual beliefs where you talk about the things you're hoping for most and you support each other in that. Those are all about connection. So connection is part of what takes away from the need to have that control. And it also takes away from that feeling of contempt, because if you're connected, the contempt falls away. But if you're connected, you're seeing these really neat things about your spouse that you might have missed in the midst of that contempt. So then how do you get to that place of connection? Well, communication. Communication is verbal and nonverbal. We often think about just that verbal part, but communication is that verbal part where how you talk to each other. Do you do it with respect? Do you do it with care? Do you do it with concern? Do you communicate in tones that are supportive of the other person? Yelling and being downgrading and condescending, that's a communication, but it's a negative communication. So we're talking about positive communication. So what's a positive nonverbal communication? When you're talking with your spouse or when your spouse is talking, do you give them attention? Do you turn towards them? Do you act like you're glad to see them? Do you respond or do you stand there and kind of ignore them? Do you stand there and refuse to embrace? There are two ways that you can respond nonverbally, as being open and accepting or closed and rejecting. So positive communication can help move a process forward. In fact, positive communication, while it has been overrated in how we do counseling and how we do marital therapy, is certainly an essential part of a pattern of a healthy couple. That when a couple is not communicating, then they have a hard time of staying away from those places of contempt. Usually contempt grows when the connection falls away and the communication turns south. Likewise, when we work on the communication and when we work on the connection, it ends up growing, which is where we also bring in the point of comfort, that relationship is nurtured by comfort. When somebody is comforting when there's pain, when a couple finds a place of comfort of each other, when they can support each other. You see, I think marriages do a pretty good job in the high times. When things are going well, when there's no challenges, most people kind of waltz through life and they miss some opportunities for building the connection. But the struggles come when there are low points and somebody doesn't feel comforted, when somebody doesn't feel the connection, when somebody doesn't feel that the communication is pulling them in a positive way. So comfort comes in two different layers. One layer of comfort is when you try to comfort somebody who's in pain. The other layer of comfort is when you're comfortable in each other's presence. Are you comfortable sharing with each other? Are you comfortable assuming that the other person is on your side? Are you comfortable with taking in what the other person is saying? You see, when we get to that control place, maybe your spouse says something to you you don't like, and you might respond out of discomfort rather than saying, you know, they have a point, they have a place to believe, they have as much a right to what they say and what they feel and what they believe as I do. And that brings us to a common place of comfort. So let's go through those very quickly. Relationship killers, trying to be the controlled or controller, and either one are roles that give up responsibility. So if you're trying to control the situation or if you abdicate control, you're putting your relationship at risk. So if it's about control or if it's about contempt, just dislike of the other person and unwillingness to see the other person as a human being with really cool traits. And then condescension, when you then take that next step and decide that you know the better way and that your spouse doesn't really need an opinion and you block that out. As opposed to the relationship nurturers, of connection, of building that place, of being on a team together, of standing side by side, of working together on coming together in that spiritual connection, in the physical connection, in the emotional connection. And you do that by communication, the positive communication, both in verbal ways and nonverbal ways. And finally, do you find a place of comfort where in the difficult times you comfort each other, and in kind of the more enjoyable times, you're just comfortable with each other? Those are the elements that I want to put out as easy to remember. The killers, control, contempt, and condescension. The nurturers, connection, communication, and comfort. Take some time and think about how you rate yourself in each of those categories. This is not about rating your spouse, but you might want to look at where your relationship is and where you are and whether you're contributing to the killers of control, of contempt, and condescension, or are you working on the relationship nurturers of connection, communication, and comfort? If you find yourself needing to make a change, remember that the starting point is changing your view of the relationship and your view of your spouse, of working to bring yourself into that. Those are the places that you begin that process. Hope this has been helpful for you. If it has been, I would love it if you would share. You can easily send a tweet just by typing into your browser, savethemarriage.com/love. That will create a tweet for you. You can just send it out and let people know about it. You can also share this. Right below on the website, right below are plenty of places to share on social media. So if you're on Facebook, share this. Let people know about it. If you're on Google Plus, it's there. If you're on Pinterest, you can pin the picture and you can find ways of sharing the word. If this has been helpful, I hope you'll share with other people. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you build a strong and rich relationship.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.